We want to welcome everyone tonight by way of Ustream. And those of you that are here tonight, I once again want to thank Candy for setting this up for us to come to minister Christ to Christ. You know, there's a saying, and it's been repeated a couple times here, that goes like this: when the student is hungry, or when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I agree with that, but you know what? There's no separation between teacher and student. Hello. Hello. See, I'm ministering Christ to Christ tonight. We're all one. There's no big I's and little U's. And I know God has ministry in the earth and so forth, but you know, on one level, we're all ministry. You know, you may not be a part of standing behind a pulpit, but you know, I think the greatest ministry yet to come is just one-on-one. Yeah. I don't think it's about standing behind a pulpit. And I understand people need to be taught and all of that, but we're all ministers on one level or another. Now, tonight, how many of you will stretch with me a little bit? Now, some of you are familiar with what I'm going to teach. Some of you may not be as familiar. And we had a little talk about it this morning at breakfast. And so the Lord changed the message, you know, and I love it when He does that, because you know that you're flowing. You know, sometimes you have an agenda and you know the direction you think that you're going to go. But I love it when He changes the message and He changes the program and you just allow the Spirit to flow. So if you'll stretch with me a little bit tonight, those of you who are, maybe are not as familiar with this as others, then we will we'll be in good shape. And so one of the things that I want to talk about, I shared last evening how that Christ is the immortality of our body. Christ is the eternality of our spirit. And when you study the word corruption and incorruption, that has to do with thoughts and awareness. So Christ is the incorruption of my consciousness tonight. We are not half-baked. We're fully redeemed. We're fully redeemed. And I brought out last evening how that, you know, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, He suffered as us. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He suffered spirit. He suffered in His whole being. He suffered in His body. And He suffered in His body, not just in His spirit, but He suffered in His body to redeem us in our body. And Romans 8 talks about the redemption of the body, and it says to wit the redemption, and to wit is Old English for to know or to experience. So I want to talk a little bit about our body. Now, when we were brought forth from our mother's womb, that was not our beginning. The word create means to cut down for a formative process, or in other words, to bring out of the realm of eternality right here into the realm where we take on tangibility or physicality. When you took your first breath, that was not God giving you your life, but God giving you His life. You always were. You always shall be. Now, once we have been brought forth physically onto this earth, once we have taken that first breath and we have become the Word made flesh, or Spirit slowed down to visibility, there's a lot of different ways you can say that, then we, if we believe that we were born just as the world believes that they were born, in other words, that was their beginning. That's what the world believes. When they took their first breath, that was their beginning, rather than that was the life that they always had because they pre-existed in God. You follow me so far? So as it says in Hebrews 7 and verse 3, concerning Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is Christ, and you are in Christ tonight, you're one in Him, there's no separation. And it says there that Melchizedek had no mother nor father, nor beginning of days or ending of time. When you believe that your beginning, when you were born from your mother's womb, when you believe that was your beginning, that you did not evolve out of the life of God, then you're going to have an ending of days. In other words, you're living in the human consciousness. And let me just say this, every human being is going to die. Every human being is going to die. But now listen, you're not just a human being.
That's
The other side of this chart, which they can't pick up too well because we did it in red, we found out last evening that under Adam is humanity. Under Adam is finiteness. But under Christ, over here on the other side, Christ is the immortality of my body. He's the incorruptibility of my awareness. He is the eternality of my spirit. And Jesus made provision for the whole man. You are fully and wholly and completely redeemed. Now, are we experiencing all of that? No. None of us are yet experiencing all of that. Now, this is what, if you're living a human life, you will die. But the Scripture does say there's going to be a people, and we're going to look at this in Corinthians, that do not sleep. And it's going to be a people that have and walk in the realization that Christ is in them, as their immortality, as their eternality, and as their incorruptibility. So if we can walk in that awareness, there will be a people that will bypass the grave. It may not be very many, it may just be a first fruit. But you know what? We all have that opportunity if we can realize when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, He provided for the whole man. We are wholly and completely redeemed. And if we can walk in that awareness rather than the human awareness, thinking that when we took our first breath, that was our beginning. If we think that was our beginning, we're going to have an ending of days. Now, here's what humanity says. Two things you got to do: pay taxes and die. And I'm here to tell you, there's going to be a people that bypass that. There's going to be a people that bypass the grave. Then we have people that say, and this is a bunch of BB, Babylonian baloney, they say, every man has to die. It's appointed and a man wants to die, but they don't read the rest of what it says there in the book of Hebrews. It says, so Christ. We've already died our death at the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Someone says, well, I don't think I'd want to be on this earth and be 200 years old. You won't. You won't, because He took you out of the aging one, Adam, and put you in the ageless one, Christ. Right. And so I believe, and I asked the Lord about this one time, and I have no scripture to really back this up, but I asked the Lord, well, how will those that bypass the grave, how will they be, and why would they stay here? You know, even in the Old Testament, they lived, Methuselah was 900 and some years old. Imagine that. But He said, since you are ageless, you will be as you're 30, 40 years of age. Now, why does there have to be a people that live here and bypass the grave? Because Romans 8 says that all creation is on tiptoe looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's got to be a people that experience the very fullness of what Jesus provided for us at the cross of Calvary, walking in that, experiencing that, for a people to recognize that, hey, there's a people on this earth that are different. They're just not the run-of-the-mill Christian. They're just not the run-of-the-mill person that we have known as Christians upon this earth. You know, medical science has been toying around for a number of years with something I think it's cryonics. And what they say is that once a person dies, they can freeze that body. This is medical science. They can freeze that body, and then they can unthaw it at a later time when they find that inoculation or that right, whatever it is, injection that they died from. And then they can unthaw their body. This is just medical science. They can unthaw their body and inject them with that and bring them back to life. Now, this is medical science. There's a man by, I think his name is Deepak Chopra. He gets into exercise and diet, and I know he's involved in some other forms of religion, and that's okay. But he says there's no reason why a person cannot live to 120 healthy and be healthy and not have to have age-related diseases and be decrepit and all that at 120. Well, listen, man can try all of those things, but the Scripture says there is only one that is immortal, and it is Christ. Yes. Now, are we not one with Christ? Yeah. Is there not one body, and one life, and one spirit? He is the head, and we are the body. Now, if I'd have waltzed in this room tonight, and my head would have came ahead of my body, you'd have said, that's a freak. Yeah. You know why? Because head and body are one. We are, God is indivisible. We are one in Him. And if Christ is the immortal one, we're going to look at some scriptures about this, then who does that make us in Christ when we walk in the awareness of our oneness? When we live out of this eternal now, then we can experience all that Jesus bought and paid for us to experience spirit, soul, and body. Hello. So there's going to be a people. I'm not saying I'm going to be one. I'm just simply saying there's going to be a people that walk in this awareness and walk in this consciousness and experience it. And the groaning creation is going to look upon them and realize there is something vastly different about them than the run-of-the-mill, born-again, spirit-filled Christian that's upon the face of this earth. Now, let me give you some scriptures because, you know, I remember there was a famous preacher. You remember when the little kindergarten children in Newtown, Pennsylvania were shot? Yeah. This deranged guy went in and shot them up, and killed them, many of them. I don't know how many, 20-some children. There was a famous preacher that they interviewed about this. I'm not going to mention his name, but because it doesn't matter. And they interviewed him on national television, and they were trying to get some answers as to why this happened. I wish they'd have asked me. No, seriously. Because what this preacher said was, well, you know, God needed some angels in heaven. Now imagine having a sibling that has been killed in that situation, and then someone comes to present the gospel to them. When they had a brother or sister that was killed in that destruction, and someone wants to minister the gospel to them, and they have been told that God needed an angel and took their brother or sister. Disgusting. Religion. And then the person said, well, all of our days are numbered. So I thought, you know, there is a scripture, and I went and looked it up. And it says, teach us to number our days. And I found out that that word numbered means celebrate. Teach us to celebrate our life. People say, well, God knows the very day that you're going to take your last breath upon the face of this earth. Can I tell you, He does not? Can I tell you, would you not be upset if I told you God doesn't know everything? God is omniscient. He knows all things, we've been told. Let me give you this little scenario. Let's say there's a plane that is going down, ready to crash. The pilot knows that the plane's going to crash. Some of the people on the plane know the plane's going to crash. But God doesn't know. How can He not know? He knows all things. No. Now hear me through, because there's a method to my madness here. God doesn't know all things. Someone says He's omniscient. He knows all things. He does not know all things. Do you know He has the uncanny ability to forget things?
Come on.
That's what the scripture says. He doesn't remember. See? He doesn't remember. But now listen. Let's say, for example, there is a person on that plane that walks on that plane and they're in the awareness, the consciousness of God. Then that plane could be spared and safety could ensue and protection, and it not crash. Now, follow me with this. Follow me with this thought. God only knows the things of the kingdom. Habakkuk 1:13, His eyes are too holy and pure to behold evil. Let's say, for example, you're having a bad day, and you're thinking you're knowing some things about yourself that are not very godly. You should thank God that God doesn't know the same thing you're knowing that day, or you're in a heap of trouble. He sees us through Christ. He sees us through the kingdom. He doesn't see sin. He doesn't remember sin. He doesn't see all these things that we think He sees. In Jeremiah, it says, I know my plans for you. They are of good and not of evil. So God knows the things of the kingdom of God about us. He doesn't know the day that you're going to take your last breath. He doesn't, because there's no darkness in him. He only knows the thing of things of light and life. That is all he knows. He's chosen to only know those things. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad on the days when you're knowing some ungodly things about yourself? God's not knowing those things about you. If he was, you'd be in a heap of trouble. See, listen, folks, we must think some things through. Now, I told you we're going to stretch a little bit tonight. We need to think some things through. I remember Brother Gary Garner used to say this all the time. He said, we need to think some things through instead of just believe everything the preacher says just because he's got a whole alphabet soup behind his name. DDD, PhD, and all of that. We need to hear from the Spirit of God. Just open ourselves up to allow him to teach us and reveal his truth unto us. Now, the scripture says in Psalm 82, in fact, let's just go there if you have your Bible, Psalm 82, let's read this. I want you to see this one in black and white, or you just probably wouldn't believe that it's here, Psalm 82. Psalm 82. If he is the immortality, and let me just say this about the word mortal. The word mortal in the Greek is morte. It is where we get the English word mortuary and mortician. Now, let me ask you, what part of our anatomy, if we die and go by the way of the grave, does the mortician work upon? He doesn't do one thing to the spiritual part of us. That's gone. You know, I mean, it's there, but it's nothing. It's not going to get into that. But anyhow, he works on the body. So immortality has to do with the body. Eternality has to do with our spirit. Incorruptibility has to do with our awareness. But you see, God sees it all as one. We need to start seeing it all as one. We need to start seeing it all as one. Now notice what it says in Psalm 82, verses 6 and 7. Are you there? I have said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. I have said what? What we had written on the backside of this chart. God is the infinity of our being as us. God is the immortality of my body as me. God is the unlimitedness of my being. And that's what the first part of this verse is saying. Verse 6, I've said, ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princesses. In other words, if you think that when you took your first breath, that was your beginning and that you didn't evolve and always have that life, then you're thinking and focusing upon beginning of days and you'll have an end of time. Now, your life will still go on, don't misunderstand, but in the physical, every human will die. You're gods. I am the infinity of your being. Hello? I am the Christ. You are one with me, as it says here in verse 6. But you're still going to die if you walk in the awareness, this parenthesis. I call this the parenthesis. We always were, always shall be. But there was this parenthesis where we came forth physically, where we became the Word made flesh, or spirit slowed down to visibility. And if our focus is on the human and we just focus on that rather than focusing on the now, the eternal now that we are, then we will hit the dust. Hello. So celebrate your life. Your days are not numbered. God does not know the day that you'll take your last breath. Hello. Oh, we've had a lot of squirrely teaching. We've had a lot of things taught us that has not been the truth whatsoever. We need to just simply think some things through. Now, you're in Psalms there. Quickly go to Psalm 116 and verse 15. Look at this one. I've heard this quoted so many times, and I'm sure you have. And one day I took it upon myself to look up the first word in this verse that we're going to look at, Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know what precious is there in the original? Rare. Rare. It should be rare for a Christian to go by the way of the grave. When God is the immortality of their body, the incorruptibility of their consciousness, and the eternality of their spirit, it should be rare to go that route. Now, let me give you some New Testament scriptures. And the first one I want to look at is in Philippians chapter 3, the book of Philippians chapter 3, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15.